have the opportunity of coming to Jesus and having our sins forgiven. Now, in this closing part of this letter, Paul tells us how that we can live for God through Jesus. Now, this is so important because living for God and allowing Him to use us to our full spiritual potential is an area I believe a lot of us struggle with, right? You're not sure. Well, let me give you a quick test so that you can evaluate how serious you are in your service for God. Now, do I use my time? Money, relationships, opportunities, material possessions, gifts, abilities, and energy. Answers to these will tell you whether you care more about maintaining a comfortable and sometimes self-centered lifestyle than about living a life that is pleasing to God. And be sure of this, God can never use you to your full spiritual potential as long as you are living a life of self-centeredness. Well, let's see what Paul has to say about living a life of service. So if you have a Bible, turn to Romans chapter 12, and the reading of the passage for today is verses 1 to 8, and I invite Lenore to come and read that.
So we're reading from the New Living Translation, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I, Paul, plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will accept. When you think of what He has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. As God's messenger, I, Paul, give each of you this warning. Be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of His one body, and each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other. And each of us needs all the others. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out when you have faith that God is speaking through you. If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, do a good job of teaching. If your gift is to encourage others, do it. If you have money, share it generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Father God, we thank you for these words, these ancient words, that are still ever so true. So we come to you with a hope in hearts, and we ask that your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, will reveal the truth in these words, that he will enlighten our minds, because we want to be conformed more and more to the image of Jesus. So we pray these things through his name and for his glory. Amen.
Paul, in these verses in Romans 12, makes it very clear that every Christian is called to a life of service. That is, we are to serve God in some way. The question that we need to answer today is, in my life of service for God, how can he use me to my full potential, to my full spiritual potential? Let me begin by dealing with the why we would even want to be used to our full spiritual potential. The answer is simple, because of what God has done for you. Because of what God has done for you, in verse 1. We are called to serve God in some way because of what he has done for us. That's the why. What about the how? Let me suggest that there are three principles here from the verses that we have read that provide the how we can let God use us to our full potential. The first principle is surrender. We need to be fully surrendered to God, according to verse 1. Now, to surrender means to relinquish possession or control to another. To submit to the power, authority, and control of another. Bernard Shaw, the well-known Irish playwright, played the what-if game shortly before he died. Mr. Shaw asked the reporter, "If you could live your life over and be anybody you have known or any person from history, who would you be?" "I would choose," replied Shaw, "to be the man George Bernard Shaw could have been but never was." Now compare that statement to that of William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. When he was interviewed near to the close of his life, this is what he said: "God has all that was of me. There have been others who had greater plans, greater opportunities than I. But from the day I got a vision of what God could do, I made up my mind God would have all there was of William Booth." That's an example of someone who is fully surrendered to God. So what does Paul say is required of someone who to be fully surrendered to God? Well, look at verse 1. Paul says, "Give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice." Now, the word body here isn't just talking about our physical form, but it's a way of talking about our entire lives. This is Paul's way of telling us to give all that we are to God, not just bits and pieces. God does not just want to be part of our lives. He wants us to be completely committed to Him. Sold out to Him. Everything that makes us who we are is to be presented to God as a sacrifice, an offering of worship. This sacrifice is living in the sense it's not dead or lifeless. This sacrifice is holy in the sense that it belongs to God, set apart and completely devoted. And it's pleasing to God because it is the kind of offering God wants. Every person has been created by God to bring Him glory. Paul then goes on to say that there is something else required of us if we are to be fully surrendered to God. And that's in verse 2. Change the way you think. Change the way you think. It has been said, he who controls the mind owns the person. Paul says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. The word transformed refers to an inner change. Once we give our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice to God, we begin to change. If we don't, there is something desperately wrong. This change occurs at the level of our mind. This isn't so much our intellect, the facts we learn during our lives, as it is our worldview, that set of ideas and assumptions that control how we interpret life. God is changing our worldview by replacing the old pattern of selfishness and for the new pattern of Christ's values. It is something we can't do on our own. But as we surrender ourselves fully to God, the power of God works through us to do what we ourselves cannot do. And it's through reading God's word that allows the Holy Spirit to work within our minds, confronting us with the truth, correcting our thoughts, and changing us to be more like Jesus. It sounds simple, doesn't it? But the Bible is where God shows us the things that He loves. God wants your mind today. God wants your mind today. So to be fully surrendered to God means releasing all that we are, our aspirations, dreams, and goals to God for His purposes. And when we do that, the amazing thing according to this verse is we will know what God wants us to do. We will know what God wants us to do. Incredible. To have the ability to discern and perform the will of God as we go through the various details of life. Surrender must come first. And only then will we learn day by day what God wants us to do. So how can God use me to my full spiritual potential? The first stage in the process is to be fully surrendered to Him. And this is a daily challenge. The second principle relating to how we can allow God to use us to our full spiritual potential is self-evaluation. In other words, to be honest in your estimate of yourselves. In verses 3 to 5. What do you evaluate yourself by today? Do you measure your significance by your accomplishments, education, a well-paying job, friends, good health, fulfilling experience, a nice car, a house-free mortgage, and so on? If so, you need to change the way you think. Or maybe you don't think you have any significance. Perhaps you grew up with people telling you that you are worthless, that you would never amount to anything. Maybe you are plagued with self-doubt and insecurity. You wonder why anyone would ever love you. Maybe you fear that if people really knew who you were, that they would be repelled and back off from you. If so, you need to change the way you think. Only after we surrender ourselves to God can we then begin to evaluate ourselves honestly in the light of God's presence. So Paul says in verse 3, realize who you are. Realize who you are. Thinking more highly of yourself than you should is one of the greatest obstacles to reaching your full potential in serving God. We please God by who we are and our relationship to Him, than by what we do in our service for Him. Never forget this truth. Never forget this truth. God uses us simply because He wants to. We are to avoid thinking too highly of ourselves, and likewise, we are to avoid thinking too low of ourselves. We achieve this by focusing on God's grace. Everything we are and everything we have is by grace. So we have the next couple of clips, please, Aaron. The second one is, remember that you are different. Remember that you are different. Verse 4. We must remember in the body of Christ, each of us have been given different gifts and roles. Everyone is unique, important, and has potential. While no one can do everything, everyone can do something. And no matter how much you may have achieved already, and no matter how old you are, there is still more God has for you to be and do. There is still more. So realize who you are. Remember that you are different. And thirdly, recognize your dependence. Recognize your dependency. Verse 5. We belong to each other. We belong to each other. Did you know that you belong to the person sitting next to you? Well, Howard, don't say that. I would have chosen somewhere else to sit. We're on the same team, with each of us playing different roles. We can't do our service alone. Don't get puffed up by your own importance. And don't take yourself out of the game by thinking you don't matter. We need each other because we belong to each other. Self-evaluation. Be honest in the estimate of yourself. The third principle in reaching our full potential in service for God is service. We are to be actively involved in service for God, according to verse 6 to 8. We need to be fully surrendered to God, yes. Then we must have a proper estimate of ourselves, yes. Finally, we are to be completely engaged in service. And in verses 6 to 8, Paul is making two points. God has given gifts to us. Verse 6a. God has given you and me a gift, not so that we can exalt ourselves, but so that we can find our pleasure by using it in ways that are pleasing to Him. No one can reach his or her spiritual potential without God's help or apart from their God-given talents and gifts. These gifts must be used in verses 6b to 8. If you don't know where to start, start with prayer and then start. Start experimenting. Try new things. Take a risk for the Lord. But start with prayer. Always start with prayer. If you have first given yourself to God and you are seeking to obey Him in the strength He supplies, you will know what He has given you to do. And you will have the faith and the grace necessary to do it. And there are benefits. There are benefits. You will be fruitful. John 15:5. As you discover, develop, and deploy your spiritual gifts, you will see fruit. It's a guarantee. You'll be fulfilled. Matthew 6:33. Only God knows your potential, and only God can help you fulfill it. And when there is nothing more satisfying than to be used by God, God wants to do amazing things in and through us. When He does, you will be fulfilled beyond your wildest dreams. And then the church will be fortified. In Ephesians 4 verse 12. Many of you are using your spiritual gifts. But just imagine how strong our church would be if even more of us put our gifts into action. So applying the message for today, can I ask a question? What is the goal of your Christian life? What is the goal of your Christian life? If it is to allow God to use you to your fullest spiritual potential, you know what it will require? it will require commitment. Commitment to be fully surrendered to God, honest in your estimate of yourself, actively involved in service for God. When you live up to your spiritual potential, it will impact every other area of your life in a positive way. So if you've never asked the Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? If you've never asked the Lord that, would you ask him that today? If you've never asked the Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? And those questions are on that slide, thanks Aaron. Would you ask him that today? Would you ask him that today? God loves you and wants you to reach your full spiritual potential for him by using your body, mind, and gifts he has given you. If you are hungry to serve the Lord, if you wish God to use you, then come to him today in humility and rededicate yourself to doing his good, pleasing and perfect will. That is where our pleasure is located, because that is what pleases him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you so much for your word, for his truth, for his challenge, for his conviction. Thank you for providing us the opportunity and privilege to be involved in your kingdom's work. May we see the experiences in our lives as opportunities for you to change each one of us, and so that we may bring glory and honour to you. Lord, we pray this in and through the bold and strong and beautiful name of your Son, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen.